All right. Hanging in with Zon D. See how I'm going to start this. Ever since we've been, the apostle has been teaching us on grace, we have to really go back and look and study and pay attention to everything we've taught. You understand? So I went back. We had a couple weeks off, and he's teaching on grace. I was able to find some things, see some things different from prayer, because I wanted to make sure was that as I studied the book, and if we studied the book, prayer, and I study now, I want to make sure we don't have too much longing. And so I had to look at some things. We're going to have to go back and reteach some stuff that we've learned with the help of the Holy Ghost. Tonight, we want to deviate from the book a little bit, but we're going to pick back up because I feel like we need to go back and set a foundation to understand where we're at with grace and how it applies to prayer. And so tonight, those of you who follow the apostle, who are members here, those who may just be in school, one of the key things I've learned about the apostle is his secret to success. One of his main ingredients to success. One, first of all, he loves God more than anything. But the other thing he taught me, I had to learn the hard way. I'll say this with you quickly, and we'll get into the lesson. When I started working at the ministry full time, first 4 months was hard for me. Not necessarily because of the work, but because the expectation, the level, I wasn't used to it. And what I said was, we can be working on one assignment and get a phone call to go do something else. And we can be doing that assignment and get a whole other phone call to go do something else. So in one instance that happened to me, and we finished up on a Friday, so I was standing in the morning, I said, Lord, this is going to be, I'm going to need some rest today. Well, lo and behold, 7 o'clock, we get a phone call from the foreman. Then the apostle needs y'all at work. I said, now, Lord, I know we did everything. So we get here, and he said, why the grass not cut? I said, well, you know, it drizzled a little bit yesterday, and we started doing other things, so, you know, we think we're going to be. No, this, y'all represent me. When people come in on Sunday morning, they want to see extra. They want to see grass up and all that kind of stuff. So he said, y'all need to cut the grass. So we got here 8 hours cutting, pulling weeds, just getting it ready. And it bothered me. I'm like, man, how we did all that work? But the Lord had to show me something the hard way. The biggest thing I didn't know how to do was, even our pastor, when he called me a top pastor, was I didn't know how to steal. That's one of his key secrets to success. The apostle will sit on you in a blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. He don't care who you are, what it is, how long you've been doing it. He can come in right now and say, you ain't teaching, go sit down. I got started. We better move with the kid. So what I'm saying is, with the gospel of grace message he's teaching now, in every class and everything we study now, we now have to make a shift. To everything we thought we knew, we was teaching and learning, well, we got a shift and we got to learn some more stuff. So tonight, I want to deal with the subject matter of establishing your heart in grace for prayer. Establishing your heart in grace for prayer. Paul told him, he said, follow me as I do what? Follow Christ. So what is happening right now is we can bring that down to where we are with our apostle, with our pastor. Well, Paul's little saying, he said, look, there's going to be some times you're going to follow me. But I'm going to sit on you. But don't get scared because I'm following Christ. That's where we are right now. We're going to follow the apostle because he's following Christ. Although it may not be something I understand totally, I may be something I may not totally agree with yet, but just keep following. And we just sit on. So we're going to deal with pride with your heart. Establish your heart in grace for prayer. Now, the enemy specializes in half-truth. He recognizes that if you operate in half-truth and not full-truth, you've never accomplished anything. You got to have a whole truth. Say the whole truth. Even the world system recognizes you got to have a whole truth when you go to court. You swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help your God.
Because I don't need to have truth. We got to have the whole truth. All right? So, having half truth is almost like having rat poison. Rat poison is made up of 98% of what the rat actually like. But if that 2%, there's no kill it. 98% of us, we know how to pray. We know how to worship. We know how to dance. We know how to do all those things. 90%. But that 2%, not understanding grief, not applying to our prayer, not walking in grief. You understand what I'm saying? So the key, it'll stop your destiny of not understanding that 2% while you know 98% of everything else. Could it be? I told a man of God, we're talking. What have we been teaching? How have we made it this far where we are right now, not understanding how to apply grace in every aspect of our life? All right? When you don't understand how to have grace applied to your prayer life, you are now trying to force things to happen. Now we have to go back and look at scripture when we talk about Jacob. When he was wrapped with the angel, we'll start talking about, you got to hang on, wrapped with God all night. You got to just be right there. No, baby, no. I ain't got to do all that. Just finish. I just now have to believe that I received what has already been mine when I go into prayer with the grace that God has already put in my life when I do pray. So now when I go into prayer, I don't have to force my way into God's presence. I'm already there. Oh, man. See, I'm using my son, these examples. My daughter, she kind of like me. When I'm eating, I want to eat, don't ask me for my fries. You know what I'm saying? I'll buy you 3 bags of fries, just don't ask me for my fries. All right? So, my girl, she get that coming to her. When she trying to eat, my son, he's 1 year old, now he always trying to get to her, hit a plate, and just mess with her. He just can't stand it. So, I blocked him. All right? So he couldn't get to a room. So he looked at it and he said, "You lied, you had to slide and make through." He just couldn't do it. He said, so he cried and cried and cried and cried. So eventually, he looked in here, go back and try, look back. So finally, he stood for it. He said, "I feel like I can do this thing." So he didn't try to stop the door. Because he had a window on, after that, he just pushed it. And when he pushed it, he just went out the way. So he had access to my dog's room now. I said to say all this. When you understand the key, when you understand grace when you're praying, you don't have to force your way in. You got the key to get into God's presence all in. You don't have to push, you don't have to pull, you just go right on in. Come on, go to Hebrews 13. See, now I'm going to say this thing. We don't have to flirt and holler, God, heal. The question we have to ask ourselves now is, do we believe what we pray? And you're going to deal with that in a minute. I'm going to say, and you know I'm ready, but I'm going to tell you why you don't believe what you pray. It's simple. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and what's coming. He said, be not carried away with doubt and strange doctrine. You heard that. It's a good thing that your heart be established with grace. Do you see it? Yeah. So now I'm understanding that my heart needs to be established with grace, not just for some part of my life, but every part of my life. Yeah. So now when I pray, my heart needs to be established in grace. Could it possibly be? Because I have not had my heart as set in grace as I should, is the reason my prayers are being withheld. I'm not necessarily withheld, but not being activated because I don't know who I am in Christ. I don't understand the grace. I'm trying to keep from saying what I want to say, because I got to get there a little bit later. Okay, I'll deal with this for a second. Many times we don't want to pray because we have a lot of guilt on us. And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to talk about me. I don't know you. But especially when I was younger, you go out to the club, be out all night, leave the club 2, 3 o'clock, do what you do, go to IHOP 3, 4 in the morning, last talk, got a hangover, then come out going to church Sunday morning, sit in church, they pass communion, you know, pass somebody the communion, like, I ain't taking no communion, no. I know what I did last night, or the choir be singing, something be going on, you feel something, and then that guilt that comes, then you take, you better lift your hand, you know what you did last night, you know what you said, you know what you smoked, you know what you drank, you better not say amen. And then you just look, and if you're really about it, I ain't going today. I ain't gonna go. So what happens now when you pray? You want to pray, but you're afraid to pray because you now believe, because of the condemnation and because of the guilt that's on you, that you just stop what God said He's gonna do for your life. You've been praying for your family, but you think because of the guilt and condemnation on you, that now God will ask you something about your prayer about yourself. He's not going to ask that prayer about that business decision you got to make. He's not going to do it because, Lord, you know I messed up. Let me help you here. How many of y'all like movies? I'm about to bless you. All right? I want to go see Lone Survivor myself. I love shooting my movies. That's how I love it. So we go to movies. We go and watch, get our popcorn, we get our water, we get our drink, and we watch the movie. But the people who made the movie already know how to go in. Did you know when movies are made, movies are not made from the beginning, but made from the end. They took it from the Bible. Okay, that's true. Go to Isaiah 46. And let me show you why you don't have to be condemned or feel bad now, then God is going to answer your prayer because you done made a mistake. See, now we're afraid to pray because we say, Lord, now it ain't going to happen. You can pray for 6 months, now you feel like you got to start all over because you didn't miss it. I'm telling you, man. What they say, speaking truth to power. Isaiah 46, you see it? Well, what was it, verse 9? No, yeah, verse, yeah. Remember the promise of the old. I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Boy, look, there is none like you. Lord, I love it. I hear that choir singing right now. None like you. Now, look what he said, verse 10. Declare the end from the beginning. Listen. If God knew you before you was in your mother's womb, He knew in 2014 you would be facing a situation that you're facing right now. He knew you were going to miss it already. But He also knew I had a way for you to escape this thing. I also knew that I'm going to have a grace on you that even when you miss it, if you just get back in position, it don't change the end of what I was going to happen. If you say I'm blessed, now what's not going to stop the blessing? Now what they do is throw it up, but it won't stop it. See, you might have been a CEO of a company. But you know that's what God wants you to do. But just because you got plenty, it's not going to stop it. It's going to take that long because you're not going to watch that baby. But it don't stop the fact that God said I'm still making the CEO. Come on. So now when we pray now, a lot of times we're afraid to pray. We're afraid to get in God's presence now. Because our heart has not been established in grace when we pray. I keep hearing the prophet, it's sinning. It don't change the fact that God said. It'll flow, but don't change. You see that? My head writes so bad, I don't even know what that says. Psalm 39. Y'all know my handwriting bad. One time I fit the envelope for a pop. He said, what is this? His handwriting bad. He said, don't write me no more. It was crazy. He told me I knew it wasn't going to look like. Yeah. See? Yeah, I see it, Lord. I see where I'm going now. I see where I'm going. Watch this now. Having our hearts established establish our heart in grace for prayer, right? Now, I told you, it's not going to change. You might miss it. But it's not going to change what God said, right? It's true with Scripture once again. Built your heart to establish with grace and prayer. Psalms 89, look at verse 34. Remember? We're not under old covenant, but under what? New. And it would say, my covenant, I will not what? Now, all the things that's going out of my what? He's talking about going to change it. Your drug and beer, love, your drug and beer ain't going to change it. Your smoking and your pizza ain't going to change it. You might be in past prison for the weekend, but God said, it's going to change what I said. If I said you're a queen, you're a queen. If I said you're a queen, you're a queen. Despite what you do. I love this thing, boy. So now when we pray, we can go with a confidence, knowing that God, yes, I mentioned with pinky, put yourself back with it, and now you can pray with confidence. Now you're getting God's prayer and say, Lord, I'm here with bold, I'm here with confidence, and I believe the thing that you said. All right? I love it. Now, here we go. Here we go, Lord. I hear you. Go to Psalm 51. We just set it up just a little small foundation to get us ready to get back into this book of prayer so we may be able to look at things different now. Because I figured out now, when I started hearing the prophet teach this thing, because our heart has been established in grace, I'm telling you, people are afraid to pray. Or when we pray with so much condemnation, we don't believe what we're saying out there. We feel a cough, I said, beautiful, like, Lord, it's me. I've missed it again, but if you can just have mercy on me, Lord. Just one more time. I don't remember mama and watching. I don't remember. We go out there and just get drunk, oh, Jesus, holy, and then start hugging that pulse, that pulsing, pulsing, you know, when you get sick, y'all know what I'm talking about. And you say, Lord, if you just let me just whip this, if you just do this right now, I'll never touch it again, whatever that is. La, 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 la. You know, either I hope you start feeling better, y'all know you guys, if you go, either I hope you hydrate again, and then let it do it next time. Why am I talking about this? I don't know. But look, I'm going to go out better somewhere. So now what happens is we see that, and now we have got faith. Now we, hallelujah. We're like, boy, glory to God. And we pray to sanctify not full of the Holy Ghost, but they forgot where we came from. And when you do that, that your heart hasn't been established in grace yet. Because now you love them, love the person until they become to and pull to wish how much God loves them, and they begin to watch your life, and then their life begin to change. You know what I'm saying? So what happens now is, I found the scripture. What we do is, like Pastor was talking about earlier, we find somebody who not living as good as we are, we think they are, blah, 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 and make us feel good. Pastor Dave was talking a couple weeks ago about sin. And, you know, we classify everything as sin. Smoking as sin, drinking as sin. We won't find it anywhere, but we classify it. Now, what I found out is, too, what happened in prayer is, your prayer would be stagnated when your heart not established in grace, because now you become offended because you think people have sinned against you. When in fact, the only person that you can ever sin against is God. Right. Rod can't sin against me. He may offend me with something, or I may offend him, but I can't sin against him. He can't sin against me. You can only sin against God. So if you're not careful, you're now trying to classify things as sin, and when you do that, you become judge and jury. And now the grace of God's not in you, and now your prayer can be answered. Psalms 51, look at verse 4. I love this. Look what it says. He said, no, look at verse 3. Follow verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is dead before me. He said, God, I'm just opening up to you. Now watch what he said in verse 4. Against thee and thee who? Who? Against thee and thee who is the owner? Yeah. What he said? Have I sinned and done as evil in thy sight, that thou may be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest? And the Message translation says that I violated you and you only, and I can't sin against no man. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Because see, what happened is, we would try to say, okay, you know, her dress, she's being things like that. She tend to get me. Oh, dirty thing, look at her. Just like a hornet coming to take you. Whatever happened, coming, you are. Well, she ain't got no dress like you yet. Well, if she says she got her nice dress all copied over. But if she comes in there and she's still making our sin, and she can feel you doing that, she ain't coming back. Now you wake up there. Now you didn't condemn the first time. Now you at home, Lord Jesus, here I am one more again. Ask you to bless me and my family. You know that door coming open, Lord. I want that position. But your heart's not established in grace. As you see and be on. Matter of fact, let's deal with this. I'm going to just talk about it and move on. I think Paul got on Peter about that. He told him, he said, what I call clean, you can't call unclean. Once a person has acknowledged they've missed it,
wow.
Okay, what you say? God says, you want me to forgive you? I forgive you. It's over. What I call clean, you can't call unclean no more. All right, let's get that clear. So, if our hearts are not established in the right thing, what Paul said and got put by it, then he will be established in what? The wrong thing. And apparently, from what he's been preaching over the last 7 weeks, our hearts have been established in the wrong thing. Now, we also must look at this. We must change the way we pray. Because what has happened now, I recognize, is I went back and looked at the book and studied. We have to be careful that we are not trying to pray to live a certain way. We're not praying to be holy. We're not praying to be righteous. We're not praying to be sanctified. Watch this here. But we are now praying because we believe. It's a difference. So now when I go and pray, I'm going and praying with my heart established in grace. With a clean heart, knowing I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Despite what's going on, I'm the righteous of God. So now when I go in, I'm going to God's presence now with boldness and with confidence. With an assurance that I'm praying this thing. I'm not praying, Lord, bless me with it. I'm praying, Lord, thank you that you have. See, my mentality now has changed because my heart now is established in grace. And because my heart is starting to grow, I don't have to go, Lord, I'm a dirty old raggedy thing, and here I am, Jesus. No. Lord, this guy, I'm here. Lord, I said, look, if I miss it, I miss it, Lord, forgive me. But I'm coming right now believing what you said. It was fair that I can have this. It was fair, and I expect you to give it to me.
Yeah.
But see, if you don't have your heart starting to grow, what the apostle teaches us, you start rehearsing what you missed it. You start rehearsing that day. I shouldn't have said nothing to my husband like this. I shouldn't have said that. I should have, that co-worker, I shouldn't have did this. I shouldn't have did that. Lord, last year, you know, I did this last year. And you start rehearsing crazy stuff. And then now you start, you don't feel that power no more. You know, yeah, well, no, you may be right. Maybe I shouldn't be praying. No! So great, man. So great. Speak after God. All right? Now, we have to make sure, once again, we're not praying to live, but we're praying because we believe. So now we have to go back and look at Scripture to make sure while prayer life has not become a low life. Oh, no. I said our prayer life, make sure it has not become a low life. So now we go back and look at Daniel. So we have to be careful and say, okay, I'm going to pray 3 times a day just like Daniel. Well, I'm putting myself back under the law. First of all, God told Daniel to pray 3 times a day. Second of all, Daniel believed what he was doing. You can do it 3 times a day and don't believe, you don't get none of that. oh, Lord, here's another scripture. I'm going to go back and look at this scripture, though. That's why there was a story in the Bible. I see it clear as day now. And that's why we get offended with people. Remember that guy? They were in the Bible, in the Bible, where they're talking about the workers. And the harvest is filling up, but labor is a few. And remember, they had been working all day trying to give you a favorable wages. All day. That's a great country for them. Because at the end of the day, they hired a couple of people who ain't doing more than an hour.
Right.
And they got hot. Because the people that worked an hour got the same amount that people were working all day.
Yeah.
That's great. What's my point with that? What I'm saying is, you may have some kind of law, some kind of ritual that you have in your prayer life. And you catch a person who just got saved.
Right.
And now they say, Lord, thank you for saving me. And give them prayer. And they say, just like that.
Yeah.
Now you know that because you just can't get through that. They just got to say, and I haven't said my lips because their heart is establishing grace. You see it? I said, they got hot. How did get the same place that you were working on? I've been in place 30 years. How did you get a new car? How did you get a baby? I've been looking for a home for the last 15 years after the thing. How did you?
Yeah.
Just because their heart was established with grace and yours wasn't.
Right.
Wow. I gave an example a while back where, Pastor gave an example, if she owed me $10,000, and he owed me $10, and I forgave both debts, who will be more happy? The man! The one who knows! The one who owed the most is going to be the target in grace. Because they know where they came from, man. All right. Two things we must know. We must know how to access God's grace in your heart. On your prayer, you must know how to access God's grace in your prayer, and you must know how to activate God's grace in your prayer. Access and activate. So when my heart has been established in grace, I now recognize that I am under Holy Ghost control. Now I begin to understand that scripture now where the Bible says, I know not what to pray for, but the Holy Ghost does what? Make intercession for me. See, when my heart now is established in grace, I'm now under Holy Ghost control, so now if I don't know what I'm praying for, Holy Ghost says, I'll take care of it. The Ghost of God, I know exactly what to pray for. I don't know about to see that, man. Because see, you pray for one thing, you pray for a door open, but the Holy Ghost says, I need it closed. So when your heart is establishing grace, you yield and say, okay, Lord, I'm yielding to your thing. What you need to do? What needs to happen? Because the doors are closed, it might be the one that saves your life. Glory to God. Our heart must be established in grace because when we pray, Satan recognizes his greatest weapon is to get me to walk in condemnation. All Satan wants to do is to get you to feel condemned. If he gets you to feel condemned and I have your heart established in grace, you're not going to pray with boldness. You're not going to pray with confidence. In other words, we got some shirts I haven't made at the shop. You're not going to have a swag about yourself. You won't walk with that limp. You won't feel that strength. You back off a little bit. Yeah, you got to be flagged out, man. For real. When your heart is, if you're full, if your heart is filled with condemnation, it'll keep you from being promoted. It'll keep you from being preferred. You understand?
Yeah.
Go to Luke 15. We end with this one so much. I just want to get established. Luke 15. I want to expound on it a little bit more. but start at verse 17. He says, Luke 15, verse 17. And when he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to him to spare, and I pass with hunger. And look what he said, and I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I know what word to be called thy son to make thee one of thy hired servants. Now, notice what this young man did. You know the story about the father's son. You heard Pastor mention, but I want to deal with it a little deeper for a second. Notice what he did. Verse 17, he became, said he began to talk to him. He began to rehearse what he will say to his father. He started preaching. He started saying, what did he say? He said, I'll go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against thee. I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. Just make me one of the highest servants. He's not preaching to himself. I'm saying that what he did. So he started rehearsing what he was going to say. Now, y'all laughing, but we've done the same thing to God. When we know we missed it, we say, okay, how can I go to God with this? You know, no, I'm going to get on my knees this. No. No, I'm going to stand up. Father. Come on, man. Okay, I'm going to go quiet. Let me quiet. Give me this time. You know. I'm going to go. The father even give a chance to say nothing. He just took him and kissed him. Now, three things happened. Let me play with this. Three things happened. He gave him a ring, he gave him a robe, and he gave him shoes. I did the research and I found out the robe literally meant he was covered. It was a robe of different color. When your heart is established in grace, you can play with confidence and find how you miss it. Because you come. We come with the blood. The second thing they gave him was a ring. Now watch this. This ring was a signet, and it could be used as a seal, but the major thing about this ring was this. It showed his birthright. Only a son got a ring. Only a son had the right to come back to the church. Oh, man. And the father didn't even have to say that to his son. Just come on back, son. No questions asked. He didn't even get a chance to tell him that he was at the sixth floor and he had been in the party. He didn't get a chance to tell him he had been at the gambling bank. He didn't get a chance to tell him. He was the first one to tell his daughter. We are so crazy. Look, God already knows you did. But we go to him as if he don't know. We tell him all things, all known, all powerful, but we act like he don't see you. I don't know. The last thing. He gave him some shoes. This is powerful because our research and looked at it showed that slaves didn't wear shoes. So when he came home, apparently he didn't have no shoes on. He didn't operate as a slave. But when he came home, God said, put the best shoes on. Give us some data. You need a brown and brown. In other words, this is to show him that you no longer slave, but you my son. Despite everything you did, I'm going to give you his grace. So what happens now is our hearts must be established in grace when we pray, because when we pray now, everything will be a whole lot smoother. There's a bonus you can have now. And then, I'm going to get in with this statement. if grace was strong enough to save me, it got to be strong enough to get my prayers answered. If it will save me, if I believe that when I got saved by the grace of God, when I believe that every sin I've ever committed, so you understand now that it's still from past, present, and future, but at one point we thought it was just for your past. So now when we pray like, so Lord, you forgive me all my sins. If we can believe God has forgiven you for all your sins with the grace of God, he can't answer no prayer. It's not like he can, and he will when your heart is established in grace. All right? So now when we get back in this book, and whatever we thought, however we did, and I don't know what would happen around here, so that's why I'm going to leave it at this. Because whatever that happens, just we're going to get back in and we're going to get our hearts established in grace. And watch the prayer like saying, and watch y'all start getting your ass this week. Watch my finger. You too, isn't it? All right. As Dr. Needs to say, love, peace, and food.